This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is going to be a very fun conversation. Something that we have not talked about as far as on the real estate side, international. Denise Williams, you have transitioned and you moved to the UAE. You live in Dubai now.
Yes, I do.
And now you have a independent brokerage, real estate brokerage in Dubai.
So you are the first Black woman to have a real estate brokerage in Dubai, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So this is a full circle moment because we met in Atlanta at a hookah lounge, I believe.
Sounds about right.
Right? And the last time we met, we were in Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
So I'll tell that story because I think it's a good story to tell. So
we gotta also pay homage though to another time that we met Denise, because she was instrumental in us sitting down with Master P. Let's not forget that. So we were in Miami, and you were doing some stuff with Rap Snacks, and said, "There's an opportunity here, guys. If you come down tomorrow,
yes,
interview Master P." And we were like, "We'll be there tomorrow."
We'll be there. And that was a dope interview.
It was like the first time we had like a live audience inside of it. So it was definitely dope. And that was 2 years ago, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Again, thank you for that, because that was definitely a moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was dope. We interviewed Fat Joe right before that, and then we went to Master P, interviewed Master P. So that was a dope day. So the Louvre. Museum.
Fast forward.
The Louvre is the most prestigious museum in the world in Paris. If anybody has not been, I highly suggest that you go. It's the pyramid that you always see, and it's an underground museum in Paris. So there's only two Louvres in the world. There's one in Paris, obviously, and there's another one, which people might not know, there's another one in Abu Dhabi.
And it's gorgeous.
And the architect, the person that built the Louvre in France, they brought him over to Abu Dhabi, and he built the Louvre in Abu Dhabi. So the last time that we was there, vibes on top of vibes.
Yes.
We were at the Black Tie, Steve Harvey's gala.
I believe we were winning that gala.
Y'all did win.
That's a fact.
Y'all got an award.
That's a fact. Not just any award. I mean, we got a trophy.
You got a trophy.
We won the golf tournament. That's
Shout,
shout out to Steve
My
Harvey.
Serves me correctly.
Yes.
Shout out to the good brother, Steve Harvey, man. Shout out to Tabiti. Shout out to the whole team. We definitely won that night. That was amazing.
Let's not leave that out.
So yeah, so and then so you was telling us about what you was doing then.
Yes.
And how you was moving around in the UAE and Dubai, the UAE period is just an amazing place.
It's crazy.
And I feel like they've taken the best parts of every part of the world. Like so when you go there, and I'll let you talk about it. We went to Dubai and then they have something that looks just like the Venetian in Las Vegas with the waterfalls.
Yes.
And then they have the Louvre. They have you know, man-made islands where it looks like it looks like you in St. Thomas or something like that. Like they literally have taken the best parts of every part of the world and created like an all-star team. Yeah.
Michelin chefs.
That's the best way to actually describe it.
Five-star hotels, marinas, largest mall in the world, largest building in the world.
Everything. Dubai is all about the biggest, baddest, best, shortest, tallest.
The biggest and the biggest. I like this. I like where you're going with this, Denise.
That's a fact. So we're going to get into all of that. But first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So, all right, let's get into this. How does this even happen? You're selling real estate in Atlanta.
Yes.
Right? How do you even transition to move to Dubai and start selling real estate, open a brokerage? Like, how does that even happen?
You know, first of all, thank you guys for having me. Mahaba, Anna Denise. So I just want to say thank you so much for this moment, right? This is so important for us to just share our experiences. And making the decision to go to Dubai didn't start in 2021 when I first visited Dubai. Making the decision to go international actually started when I started my real estate brokerage. So the name of my company is Williams & Co. International Realty. So I had vision. Before hiring my very first agent, I always knew I wanted to have a global brand. And so I gave myself a five-year plan that I was going to say, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to start my first international brokerage. But initially, I was thinking I would do something within like a four-hour flight of Atlanta, something that was same day, okay, go in and out. But then when I visited Dubai in 2021, again, attending Steve Harvey's gala, that was the first year that they hosted it. So shout out to Paige for the invite. I was actually in South Africa and she was like, you need to come to Dubai and come to this gala. I was having my first international engagement then. Flew over, absolutely loved it. So it was cool to be able to hang out with celebrities for the weekend. But what stood out to me most was the cranes in the sky. I was like, whoa, this city is an emerging market. Like, what is going on? There are so many buildings being built. And I really evaluated what they've been able to do in the last 50 years. As the UAE, they came together 50 years ago and said, look, we want to create this dynamite environment for tourists, for everything. If you think about it, they literally built everything that you described in a desert. And so I'm just like, I need to be a part of this growth. Where are the American realtors? What's going on? Who's telling Americans that this is an opportunity zone for them to invest in? You know, a lot of times with us, because the US is so far away, we don't really look outside of the U.S. And because we've been so spoiled to be number one for so long, we're like, we're good. We're comfortable. So for me, it was just like, this is a huge opportunity for me to be the liaison between the U.S. and the UAE in the real estate sector. And so I was like, you know what? Let me put a plan in place. Let me see if this is something I want to do. So I went out about three more times before making the decision to officially move. The third time I flew my mother out and I was like, Mom, I just need you to feel the energy. I just need you to, you know me more than anybody. Do you think this could be a good decision? And she was like, I see the vision, go for it. And that was the final word that I needed to say, you know what? Let's try it. And I'm like, if you're going to go international, what better place than Dubai? It already speaks for you. The luxury is there. I just need to be there. and position myself in a situation where, that already aligns with my brand. I have proof of concept. It's just about doing what I've already done in a new place.
So let's talk about that. I mean, foreign land, international, yes. You're creating a business.
Yes.
So talk about what that was like going through the process of creating it. Because here, when we think about creating business, we think LLC, we mm-hmm. got to get an attorney, we got to get things trademarked. What was that process like doing it in Dubai? Mm-hmm. And then I guess the follow-up part is that, I mean, this is a country where the woman's role is a little bit different. So talk about that as well.
Okay. Is it?
Well, or is it?
That's a good question. So for the first part of your question, as far as setting up a company and being there, I didn't want to try to figure things out on my own. I'm one of those people that I'm going to pay for information. You know, so I partnered with a company that could help me to start my business. So instead of going on Google and trying to piece together the situation step by step by step, I actually hired a company that helped to put me through that process. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, this is my vision. This is what I want to do. I want to start a company. So just to give you an idea of how the process works, you partner with a company in the local area of Dubai. You decide if you want to be in a free zone on the mainland area. The mainland is obviously going to give you more rights to be able to sell and do what you need to do for the full city. And then free zone has certain pockets. So they set my company up and you pay per activity that you want to do. So because I have a real estate company, I actually have to pay for leasing. I have to pay for sales. I have to pay for commercial. So you identify kind of what activities you want to have within your licensing. The other thing that's unique about the Dubai real estate market when it comes to like starting a business and getting residency is that they actually require a medical exam. So you also have to take a medical exam to make sure that you don't have any infectious diseases because they will decline your application. So that to me is, you know, that's different, right? A lot of countries mm-hmm. don't think that far ahead, but they're trying to preserve the lifestyle of what they have developed. So that's another part of it. And then obviously you get your Emirates ID, which is very, very important. You can't move around without your Emirates ID. It's like your rites of passage. Mm-hmm. Like everything that you do is tied to that Emirates ID. And it's so efficient, right? Because your license is tied to it. Your medical history is tied to it. Your address, everything that you need to get to whatever door you need to go into is on that Emirates ID. Mm-hmm. So it's a really efficient system. I like the way they do things.
We met a few people from New York when we were there that moved from New York to Dubai, and they were saying how much they loved it, how mm-hmm. peaceful it was. How,
yes.
You know, it was just a change of scenery that they needed.
And yeah.
They didn't really have any plans on coming back to America. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, come back to visit family, stuff like that.
Yes.
But it was like, it just doesn't make sense to go through the hassle of living in America, especially like, you know, a city like New mm-hmm. York City, when you can just live in the UAE with a much better quality of life.
Yes.
So, all right. So you go, you get all of this.
Hold on, before we go there.
The woman and business.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what you're saying is true, right? Maybe it's not different. So, like, that's even interesting.
Yeah.
Why did you say it's different? Because I'm asking Troy.
Why am I saying it's different?
Yeah.
I mean, stereotypically, right, it's a predominantly Muslim country. We know that.
Yes.
And the role of, in countries with Muslim populations, we see that the woman's role is a little bit different than in American society. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking of it as an American woman going into a Muslim populated country, mm-hmm. where there's some obstacles, were there different type of like stipulations that you had to do to get into business?
But yes. Even that, but that's not necessarily, but this is an important stereotype.
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily true though, right? Because there's so many different countries. Every country has different cultures. Mm-hmm. America has a different culture, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, all right, if you go to a country like Nigeria,
yeah.
that's going to be different than a country like Indonesia, mm-hmm. which is going to be different than a country like Saudi Arabia or different than a country like UAE. Uh-huh. So I think that it's an important misconception. Mm-hmm. Because there's women rights issues in America.
Absolutely.
If you really think about it, like there's women disparities where we live.
Absolutely.
So even that conversation might be not totally true. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important to address that because it's like people have misconceptions, which can lead people not to go or can lead people to have already a barrier that's built up. But everywhere has different cultures.
Yes.
It's very important to respect the culture that you're in including American culture. American culture is different, right? Like, people come to America, they respect the American culture. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what's your experience?
That's what I said, stereotypical.
Yes. No, I think that was actually a great response to that, because there are a lot of stereotypes and misconceptions that we've been taught over time. And I will say this, it's not necessarily just the stereotypes, it's the history, mm-hmm. right? So part of it is true based on history. However, now where we are in 2023, a lot of that has been lifted. A lot of those rules and laws have been changed. So that's the beautiful part about being in an emerging market. Mm-hmm. I've now been able to enter into a market in a time where they are willing to be more open and embrace women in business. So it's a beautiful time for me. And one of the things is, like, as you mentioned, because there's disparities all across the world, oftentimes we look at that as like, oh, I can't do it because I'm a woman. Maybe I'll just wait, or I need to have this male partner. I need to do this. For me, my perspective is, how do I change this complete disadvantage into a USP? And by doing that, going into a market or an area where women are still learning their voice, they're still trying to figure things out. Whereas in America, a lot more women have, like, you know, there's women empowerment and they're pushing, and a lot of woman-owned businesses here in the U.S. versus going into a market where they're still trying to figure it out. So what does that mean for me? Now I get to have a greater opportunity to stand out as a woman in business, to say, hey, let me show you all. Let me be a pioneer in the space. Let me teach you guys how to conduct business, how to do business, because now the women in those areas are starting to see themselves more as entrepreneurs and more as business women. So now I've really been able to position myself, if you will, as a thought leader, as a businesswoman in a region.
You become the authority.
I become the authority figure, you know? And that was another reason that I decided to relocate from Atlanta, is because I was really starting to feel like I was outgrowing my environment. You know, it's just like a shark in a tank, right? The shark is only going to grow as large as the tank will allow. But if you put that same shark in the ocean, it'll grow to be over eight feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like, you know, we put so much emphasis on toxic relationships. We'll say, oh, this man did this to me, this woman did this to me. But do we really think about how toxic sometimes our environment is to our growth? And so when I realized, like, I wasn't waking up feeling inspired. I'm going to the events. I'm seeing everybody that I always know. I was ready to shape things up. It's time to see new things, meet new people, have a more diverse clientele base, have a more diverse friend group. You know, Dubai is in the center of the world. I'm meeting people from every different part of, you know, walk of life. And so I think people need to give more credence to, like, their environment as well.
So let's talk about, you talked about being a woman.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been a hurdle for you.
It has not been a hurdle from the degree of it's impossible. Because I think it's been painted as if, like, it can't be done. You can't wear this. You can't do this. You can't say this. But I will say that there's still, like, you know, some little residue, you know, from what it is, because it's still growing. So you still have to respect the culture. For example, this isn't something that I would wear into a government building where, you know, you're going to cover up. You're going to make sure that you are respectful. And I don't have a problem with it. Another barrier, let's have some transparency. Another barrier that I did experience as a woman was that I'm a single mother. And so because I've never been married and I've never been divorced, I couldn't provide a marriage certificate or a divorce certificate. And that's one of the prerequisites for your child to get a visa. Mm. And so because I couldn't provide those documents, I experienced some hurdles, some additional fees, in getting his visa. So it actually kind of held him up from being able to start school. So although it was frustrating for me, it was also like, Denise, you have to give credence to the culture. That's not how things run here. They admire families. They push families. You know, the men have more rights to the children in this part of the world. For example, a lot of women won't get a divorce because they know that their husbands can get the kids. You know, so things are different. It's just about respect. And then you take the good with the bad.
I think that it's an important conversation to have, because as Americans, we kind of have a superiority complex.
Yes.
Where we think that how we do things is how everybody should do things. And if somebody doesn't do things the way that we do things, then they're uncivilized or they're savages or they're backwards. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily true. It's just a different culture. And I remember even they were talking to the president of, I believe, Kenya. I don't want to get the country wrong, but it was a country in East Africa, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they had some rules on gay marriage. It was not allowed.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys.
So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the home buying blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
So the guy from Britain, I think it might have been Pierce Morrison, one of these guys from Britain, they were saying that, you know, it's a backwards way of thinking and different things of that nature. And he was like, well, you're trying to force your value system on us when we're a country that's just 50 years old.
Yeah.
Like when your country was 50 years old, you had all kinds of child labor laws and all kinds of issues that you haven't still to this day fully dealt with, racism, different things of that nature. So it's like you're trying to impose a value system on us where just let us get to that point if we get to that point, right?
Yeah.
Or just respect it and don't come.
Yeah.
But I think that that's something that's extremely important for Americans to understand. Like, when you go to somebody else's home, it's not like to say, like, I'm going to impose my will on your culture.
Yes.
And that's even something that Swiss Beast told us where he was, like, you know, talking about Saudi Arabia. And, you know, he's talking about money. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the cheapest thing you can do is ask for money. Mm. Like, you know, you think you're getting over because you're overcharging for a show. And that's not the best way to go. He's like, if it was up to me, I'd do a show for free.
Yeah.
Because I understand the long game. Like, I'm trying to, like, it's not about me trying to, you know, beat you over the head and get a quick lick. He's like, we got to stop thinking about that. Like, it's about really experiencing the culture, learning the culture, seeing how you can fit in, how you can add value to the culture, as opposed to just coming over with a, that's really like a European mindset of being a conqueror.
Yes.
And that's something that I think, you know, you have to, when you go to different parts of the world, you got to be diplomatic. You can't come as like, this is how we are coming.
Yes.
And we are going to impose our life on you.
You cannot.
Because it's not their way of life.
No, it's not. No, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, going there with an open mind is the number one thing that you have to do. You cannot Americanize every experience, you know? And that's why even at the start of this interview, I spoke Arabic just to show respect to the culture, to let them know that I want to even embrace them in on this conversation, because they too want to know about American culture. It's a give and it's a take. You know, I've learned so much more about family values and also, you know, just many different things from the culture. And I think everyone should have an international experience.
How old is your child?
He's 14.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, when you spoke to your mom and mom said, I see your vision, what's that conversation that you're having now with a teenager?
Yes.
But it's not like we're transferring to a new school district. Mm. We're transferring, we're going to a whole nother country, different way of, I'm assuming, different language.
Yes.
So, what was that conversation? How receptive was he to your vision?
So my son is one of the most understanding children ever. Like, I absolutely love Destin. Shout out to my baby. So what I did was I actually put this plan into motion for a year behind the scenes. It's not something anyone knew about other than my mother and people that are very close to me. Even he was not in on that conversation. I waited until about 2 months before we actually moved to let him know, because I didn't want to distract his mind. You know, you need to focus on what's going on right now. But when I told him, he said, okay, you know, he was open to it. Fast forward, he is living his best life. When I tell you, Destin is the man over there. They love his accent. They love his hair. While we over here trying to straighten our hair, they're like, he has the coolest hair in school. We love the way he talks. You know, it's just, he's embracing it. But what I love the most, and he even pointed this out to me, he was like, Mom, you would have never let me be free. And by what he means by that is he actually gets to call his own taxis. When he needs to get his hair cut, he'll call a ride. And he'll go. If he needs to go to football practice and I can't make it, he can call and he can go. Or he can have our driver take him. So we get to move around in a different way where he gets to actually be a teenager and walk the streets and feel relaxed. Like, the police don't even carry guns over there.
Teenagers
get to go to the mall and hang out with their friends and not have the fear of, like, you're going to be stereotyped that you're going to walk out of here and steal something. He can actually enjoy life. And so many of our young men just don't get to experience that freedom of mindset. He can truly focus on your schoolwork, enjoying yourself, being safe. That's it. You don't have any additional pressures or fears of gangs and this and that. You know what I'm saying? Every culture has its own different things and ways of living, but I think that this is one of the most important decisions I could have made for him, is to pull him out of this environment, especially as a single mom at this stage of his life. Yeah. You know, a lot of people may say, oh, I lived in Germany when I was 3 or 4 years old. That's not going to change the trajectory of your life. My son's best friend is Chinese. I'm like, you need to stay close to him. Look, he might be, you know, president of China, you know, or inventing something, you know, because and what I love the most about this experience for him is making him take his entrepreneurial journey more seriously. Because now he's meeting kids his age that own businesses. You know, their parents have maids and drivers and they're living in these huge homes. So it's not just the exposure he's getting from me now. It's like, oh, my mom is on to something. You know, he started his own company, TrickyMess.com, where he's selling graphic t-shirts, shoes, and hats. So I'm very excited for him.
So I want to get into this investor conversation. But before that, the last social aspect of it, you talked about being a woman.
Yeah.
But you also are Black.
Yes.
Black American. So how's that aspect of it as far as being a Black person in Dubai?
I love that question because I get it all the time. So they kind of characterize and put us all in a melting pot there. They just assume we're all African. The reason being is because of our skin tone. Until you start speaking, then it's like, oh, okay, she may not be African, but she's somewhere different. Sometimes I get America, but sometimes I'll get something else. So my point is, there aren't enough Americans on the ground. And that's one of the reasons why I'm there, is like to spread the word, like you all, you can come here, you can live here. They do accept us, they do embrace us. Like they love our accent, they love our culture. They watch everything that we do. Mm-hmm. It's just that they don't have the relationships in real time to really like say, okay, that's what an American looks like. That's what they, you know, that's their culture and that's what they do. So yeah, I love it. They love us. So get rid of that mindset that they don't, because. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Steve Harvey's probably the biggest advocate for.
Yeah.
While you were talking, that was the first thing I was thinking.
With Steve Harvey?
Because he had spoke to us during his interview and he was like, imagine just waking up and walking outside and not having any worries. There's no crime.
That's the feeling.
There's no pollution. There's no garbage anywhere.
Yes.
There's no homelessness. Mm-hmm. Everybody's at peace. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that would be like. So as you're saying it, he's the first thing I thought of. Then I thought like, imagine your 14-year-old son in Atlanta.
Yes.
Coming out of an environment where some of those things are happening and not being at peace, the amount of creativity, the freeness of his thought, what he can be create now, it just opens up his mind, right? This is like the real exposure.
Absolutely.
And this is the real social studies
class. This is the real social studies class, you know?
But even our guy, Oasis.
Yes.
I hope I'm not pronouncing his name incorrectly.
Shout
but
out to O.
He's, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. he so he was,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's Steve Harvey's business partner.
Yeah.
So during that interview that Steve Harvey gave when he was talking about his business partner that is so disciplined, that prays all the time, it's like 30 years old. That's the guy that he was talking about. So when I met him, he's actually from the Bronx originally.
Wow.
I didn't know that. His family, his mom, I think, is American Black. Mm-hmm. His father is from the Middle East. But you know, he looked Black and he grew up in America and then he moved over there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's assimilated perfectly.
He's killing. He is killing it.
That was a nice
Everyone
thing.
Knows. And that's the other thing, too. It's like all of the Americans, like we know each other or know of one another. So it's still a very, very unique community that we're building right now. So I really love the place. And it couldn't have been a better time.
He's getting to it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He's getting all the way to it.
To it.
So,
he's getting all the way to it.
That might have been that definitely was an understatement. But it's like even in having conversations while we were there.
Yes.
With Black Americans, it was like, you want to talk about vision. Everybody has a vision. Everybody has a clear plan.
Yeah.
And when we talk about generational wealth, their parents also had it. And now they're living it.
Yes.
So it's a very unique place.
Mm-hmm.
Very unique.
And I do want to also make mention that this is not, real estate is not the only market that's open. It is an emerging market in every industry. So whether you want to do content creation, whether you want to do hair, whether you want to do nails, like it does not matter. No, there's so many opportunities to develop and grow relationships in this area.
So let's get to this investment conversation.
Okay. All right.
So let's give us some game on how we can invest in real estate in Dubai, Airbnb, short-term, long-term plays. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about the money. So listen, I want to make this simple for our listeners, right? So let's talk about three different scenarios in which you can invest in Dubai. So let's call this one investor A. Investor A might be someone who's interested in investing in Dubai. They'd have no intention on necessarily relocating to Dubai, but they want to earn currency in different currencies, right? They want to just get a piece of the pie. This particular investor might be someone who would invest in what's called an off-plan project. So an off-plan project would be what we call new construction. So you invest in this project that is not built today, but will be built in the future, say 2 to 4 years out. So what happens is you say, hey, I want to invest in this project that you say will be here. Let's say I'll give you guys a live example because I just sold 2 of these units this week. There's a project in Dubai that will be completed in the year 2025. I have investors who have put 20% down on this project and they won't make any additional payments on this project until the year 2024. What's different about the Dubai real estate market is that it allows for you to pay for your projects in cash. So whereas in the U.S., we're paying for a project for 30 years, they've structured payment plans for investors to be able to pay off their properties in 7 years, 10 years or less, 5 years. Really, you can buy it cash same day as well. But this particular payment plan is a 7-year payment plan. So if you think about it, this is opening an opportunity for Americans to say, hey, in 7 years, I can own a property free and clear. So you put 20% down and then you make payments based on a schedule. So you have an amortization schedule. It just doesn't go 30 years down. So what's cool about this is it allows investors to come into the market. Once the property is built in 2 years, because this particular one is built, will be completed in 2025, you now have the keys to your project. So it's no longer like something that's to be. It's here, right? Mm-hmm. So what you can now do is bring in Airbnb. You can bring in short-term rental. You can bring in long-term rental into that project. So now you own a project, but you've only paid 50% of what's due. The remaining 50% is still due up until 2030, but now you have a tenant in there. So guess who's paying that 1%? But now you're doing Airbnb. So guess who's covering that cost for you? So this allows you to really pay 50% of 100% property that you own. So that's a really, really dope way.
Well, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
What does it take to buy a property in Dubai?
Document wise?
Yeah, because in America, obviously, you got to have your 2 years of tax return.
Yeah.
You got to have
blood type.
Yes.
You got to have all that stuff.
Ridiculous.
So yes.
If you're going to Dubai and you're trying to buy a property, what do you have to have as far as documentation?
Y'all, listen, I really love that question because it's so simple to become an investor in Dubai. You only need a copy of your passport, your driver's license, a utility bill to show your local address in the U.S. or wherever you are in the world, as well as your email address and your phone number. You have that 20% down payment. You can start to become an investor.
So they don't care about your income.
They don't look at
your credit
score.
Your credit score does not matter.
What about interest rates?
So let's go. So that was scenario number one. This is a cash play. Okay, so this is for someone who wants to buy cash based on the strategic payment plan that they set out for you.
Yeah, because as you're saying it, I'm thinking like, if I do that in cash and I'm paying in 7 years as opposed to 30, most people are thinking I'm going to pay more in the seven.
No,
right?
Because so it's interest free. You're literally just saying, okay, pay here, pay here, pay here, pay here. There is no interest in this strategy.
Wow.
So that's investor number one. Okay. Or A, as we said, investor B. That might be someone who wants the same type of strategy, but say they don't have $500,000, for example, to completely invest, but they may have $250,000. So what they can do is they can actually take that same payment schedule, make payments, say, until the year 2024. It's going to be due in 25, but I want to actually resell my floor plan back to the market before it's completed. So I'm never actually paying the full cost of the property. I just have some money right now that I want to flip. So this is a strategy I've coined flipping the floor plan. In the U.S., when you sign a dotted line for a new construction project, you have to see it through to the end. You don't get to take advantage of phase two and phase three increases in appreciation. Mm-hmm. You own that property. In Dubai, you can sign today and you can resell after a certain threshold. That threshold is typically 30% of the purchase price. So if you put 20% down and then you make another payment of 10%, you've now met that threshold to resell your floor plan to the market. So now you get to get your initial investment back and earn interest on that based on what you want to sell it for. Because guess what? You as the seller get to dictate what that new price is. And you've also hired that on-site team to work for you because guess what? That building is sold out. So the play is to wait for that building to sell out. You have this paper in your pocket. It's not yet built. But you're saying, hey, you're going to have buyers coming in here every day that want to buy into this project. Put me on the list to say, hey, I'm an interested seller. And now you can contact me when people are interested in this floor plan. And now you can resell it to the market. So now the developers and investors in Dubai are in a collaborative relationship versus in the US, it's like seller, buyer. We're at odds. In Dubai, they price it in a way in which they allow investors to also eat from their development projects.
So bank financing is not really a thing.
That's going to be scenario number three. But was that clear?
Got you.
Isn't that cool?
I got yeah.
That's an amazing way to
I'm gonna
be
let
able
you do
to
number three, then I have another question.
So investor C, this investor might be someone who wants something now. They want to relocate to Dubai. They want to start a business in Dubai. They're like, I don't want to relocate, but I want Airbnb. I want to start making money in Dubai right now today. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a resale strategy. If you want to purchase a property in Dubai and you want to resell the property, or you want to just purchase it to live in or invest, you have to put down a threshold of 50%. So 50%, there's no longer the 10 or 20% options. The minimum for a foreign investor is 50%. So you can get 50% financing coupled with your 50% at closing. So when you close, you're bringing 50% and that lender is bringing 50%. What's required when it comes to lending as a foreign investor? You do not have to move to Dubai to invest this way and obtain financing. But your banks will not be your traditional Bank of America or Chase. You will be using local banks. So what you do is they work through brokers. So there will be a broker that will help you find the local bank that best meets your criteria. So you're still going through a pre-approval process, essentially. You fill out an application. They ask you some questions. But what's really cool is that they're not heavily credit focused. So even if you have credit challenges, they're less concerned about credit. They're more concerned about capital.
Okay.
So if you have more capital and shaky credit, you'll still get the deal done. They want foreign investors in the market.
Is there a certain threshold that they're looking at, or is it based on the overall pricing of the real estate that you're trying to buy, right? So if I'm trying to get a $1 million home, how much money or how much assets do I need to have to get that home?
It's really, they're going to do a slight affordability calculation with your debt to income to say you're approved for $1 million or not.
Yeah.
But because they're already requiring 50%, you're only still getting financed on $500,000 versus here, you're getting financed on 96.5% in most cases. So it's like, that's way more income that you need to provide. So Dubai is a very debt, they are debt averse.
You know, it's interesting. So most people buy property in cash.
Cash.
So this is something I was actually, I think it was Ghana. Mm-hmm. It was a country in Africa, in West Africa. So there's another thing that American in the Western world has made normalized where, if you really think about it, a lot of these places outside of America, the whole home buying process is different.
It's so different.
It's like if you have $200,000, then you buy a home for $200,000.
That's it. No interest. Yes.
It's really how it should be, honestly, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like we normalize buying things that we can't afford.
Absolutely.
So we put 10% down or 3.5% down.
The lowest we can possibly put.
Or 1% down on a home that costs $5 million. And now we got to pay a mortgage that we can't afford.
Absolutely.
And it's like, that's because we live beyond our means.
Yes.
That's because we want things that we really can't afford. Mm-hmm. We want bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, why don't you just pay for something that you can afford?
Yes, absolutely.
But that's never really been taught to us because the mortgage, and even the way that banks work, a lot of these countries, especially on the Muslim countries, the banks don't charge interest.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole way that the banking system is set up is different. It's not really incentivized mm-hmm. for you to take a mortgage. Because when you're taking a mortgage, the bank is really winning in this mm-hmm. situation, right?
Yeah, of course.
So the amount of money that you're going to pay over a 30-year time frame, you could have bought three more houses
yes.
for the house that you just purchased.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's like, even the way that we look at real estate in America, we have a different mindset. Mm-hmm. We're trained to put ourselves in debt
yes.
for things that we traditionally can't afford to benefit the bank.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a beautiful way to explain it. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's why I really love that. So having a conversation with Americans now, and I'm like, well, if you want a property now, you have to put 50% down. It's like, oh, gut punch. Like, wait, what?
How do I do that?
What in the world just happened? But imagine if we were trained our lives to say, no, you can own a property in 7 years. How many more of us will be investors? How many more of us will own real estate free and clear because there's no annual property taxes?
And make better financial decisions.
Yes, exactly. If I know I need it, then I'm going to put it towards something that's going to actually add value. And so I really love that when they typically go through the financial aspect of what is necessary, they're going to look at your last 2 years bank statements. That's the maximum that they'll ever do. Sometimes it can be shorter, 3 to 6 months. It's really, really capital focused. I can't emphasize that enough. but in the scenario where you do get financing, there will be some interest. But again, if you go back to option A and you pay cash, there is no interest. So that's the options that investors have. So it's really, really dope.
So you said something, and we saw this as well. There was a lot of cranes.
Yeah.
Right? So that means there's a lot of development happening.
Yes.
Which sometimes could lead, and we've seen this happen in Florida, when there's too much property mm-hmm. and the market is oversaturated. Mm-hmm. How do we know when or where we should be focusing? Because you also brought up the mainland and the free zone, mm-hmm. which are two different things. And
yes.
maybe you can explain that as well. How do we know that, you know what, this market won't be oversaturated in the next 5 to 10 years?
Absolutely. I feel like oversaturation is kind of like just a mindset thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because imagine if y'all didn't start a podcast because there were hundreds of podcasts. Mm. It's just about what can you provide value for? What makes Dubai unique to the world is a few reasons. One, there's no capital gains tax. There's no income tax. There's no property taxes.
We got to slow down and say that again. don't breeze over that.
So there is no capital gains tax, no income taxes, or any property taxes in Dubai. That alone allows so much cost savings for people that are ultra high net worth individuals. Okay?
Yeah.
You're talking about the number three safest place to live in the world. So if you have a Bugatti in the US and you have to keep it in your garage, but you really want to drive it, what good is it to have all these things that you can't enjoy? You come to Dubai and use that same money, you can enjoy everything that you, the fruits of your labor. You yeah. can truly relax and enjoy it.
Put your
it is the
on
number
order.
One most profitable destination for Airbnb. And it is the number one most popular travel destination. It's literally written in their airport. So what Dubai is creating is a safe haven for people who are entrepreneurial. I will also say when it comes to people who have service-based jobs, this is one of the cons that people may need to also pay attention to that's listening. If you are American and you don't have a specialized skill or you're not an entrepreneur and know how to actually generate income for yourself as a business owner, you're going to struggle in that market. It's not necessarily the place for you to come and say, oh, I'm going to put in all these applications. You have to come over there and have something to give. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of like a give and take type of society. They allow you to do your thing, but you have to generate income for yourself. Unless you're coming over there, you're like a CEO of Google or something like that. But that middle ground doesn't really exist for Americans because the service-based business there, they're able to use skilled labor. Yeah. They're
able different parts of the world.
Yeah. Different parts of the world. And just the cost of labor is so much lower yeah. than what an American would expect. So you have to be able to generate your own income. But your question, though, as far as which areas are really popping. So on the luxury side, you have the Palm, you have the Dubai Marina, which is where I live. I absolutely love it. You know, waking up every day and being able to just see yachts at 10 o'clock in the morning. People are just out living their best life is so inspiring to me. The other areas I absolutely love, like downtown Dubai, Maidan City. And then on the lower end, more affordable areas, you have places like the City of Arabia or Emaar South or the Mac Hills. And there are so many different areas that you can now invest in. The beautiful part about it is that it's a growing economy. So everything's open.
You said something that was important too. I want to
try really quick. So the free zone, is the Palms part of the free zone? How does that work?
That's going to be a part of the... So free zone and mainland is just for people who are looking to start businesses to conduct business.
Okay.
It's like it allows you territories essentially to be able to conduct business, to transact. But when it comes to actually investing, you won't actually see a project advertised if you can't, as a foreign investor, purchase it. If it's something that's localized, that's more under wraps. That's not going to be listed for sale. They actually identify on the listing if it's something that the public can purchase or if it's something an investor can purchase.
Gotcha.
But when it comes to like all these new developments, those are all for foreign investors.
You said something that was I want to get back to. Mm-hmm. There's no property tax. Mm-hmm. That's another thing in America. It's like you technically never really own
never
your property
because yes.
even if you buy it out in cash,
yes,
if you fall behind on your property taxes, mm-hmm. then they can take your property.
Absolutely.
And that's something that, you know, property taxes, depending on where you live, that could be the mortgage right there.
Yeah, and not
more.
To mention, you're not in control of it. It may start
and it goes up. It goes
up
every year.
It goes up. It goes up. And then you know, and then let's also think about the legacy play. We're all here to, we all have children. Well, yes, you do have a son too. So we all want to leave things to our children. And it's like, okay, if they get tired of the property, oftentimes we lose all of the things that we work so hard in the next generation, you know? But in this particular scenario, you leave this to your child in a trust, they're going to keep it forever.
So there's no, property tax.
There's no property taxes. Yeah.
So
can you correct me if I'm wrong, but I was reading. So you said no property tax, mm-hmm. no capital gains tax. Mm-hmm. And you brought up Google, so it made me think. There's no corporate tax.
There's no corporate tax.
But I was reading that might be something that they're looking to change.
That is something that they are open to changing very soon, within like 2024, 25-ish,
yeah.
which, you know, they may have a corporate tax. Yeah. I mean, they're like, listen now, y'all over here making too much money.
So I'm thinking if I'm a corporate, yes. like these enterprises and I come to Dubai,
yes.
I'm not paying corporate tax.
I'm not paying corporate tax.
Even for the next 2 years. And even the proposal right now is saying about 9%.
Yes.
As opposed to the United States, which is 21%.
Yes. Yes.
It makes a lot of sense.
That's a huge cost saving. So even if it's 9%, you're still saving money.
Right.
And you're living in a place that's safe. And you have all this labor that is a lower expense. You know, it just makes sense on so many different levels to at least think about it and have the conversation about why am I not investing or conducting business in this region. Another thing I want to also point out, you mentioned oversaturation mm-hmm. and seeing all these projects. And it's like, okay, well, what are people actually doing with this real estate? You can go to Dubai and you might see buildings that may not seem like there are a lot of people in them. And there's a reason why. It's because people come to Dubai and they don't just purchase one unit. They purchase an entire floor. So you may see a floor in the building that looks vacant, but the reason that it is because it's just something they're either sitting on, somewhere that they're parking their money, you know, or a legacy play where they just bought it for them kids. They bought the floor for them their kids.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Dubai mm-hmm. is part of the UAE,
yes.
United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. but there's other Emirates. Another emirate down the road mm-hmm. is Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
That's where we met. Mm-hmm. So the Abu Dhabi play is interesting because mm-hmm. from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Dubai became so popular because they had the vision for the tourism.
Correct.
And but Abu Dhabi is the real finance capital. Mm-hmm. Abu Dhabi is the real money.
Yes.
That's they have way more wealth in Abu Dhabi than they have in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And they are obviously, you know, connected, but there's some level of competition as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Abu Dhabi is trying to catch up to Dubai as far as on the infrastructure and tourism side.
Yes.
So do you do work in Abu Dhabi and what are the opportunities for Abu Dhabi? Because it's only an hour away.
An hour away.
So driving an hour.
Driving an hour away, yeah. So I really love Abu Dhabi. I look at Dubai almost as like the black sheep of the UAE. It's one of those places where you can go and you can have, like you said, any part of the world at your fingertips. Any experience that you want, you can have in Dubai. When it comes to Abu Dhabi, it is very much more conservative, you know, so the lifestyle shifts. It's like as soon as you drive into Abu Dhabi, it's almost like you feel at peace. You're like, where are the birds? Like, where I need sound. Like, it's too perfect. What is going on? So it's really kind of about the vibe that you're going for. Like, I go to Abu Dhabi for relaxation. I go there because I want to make some high net worth connections, you know, but I don't see Abu Dhabi being as tourist friendly, if you will, as Dubai anytime soon, because they still want to keep some of their culture alive. I think when you start to just allow too much to happen, it can kind of overthrow your overarching goal of life, which I really do love, because we all need those pockets to be able to like decompress and go back to, you know. And so, but they are doing a lot of development. They are much more wealthy than Dubai, because they are oil focused. Dubai is not oil focused. They are tourism focused,
yeah.
And supply chain focused. So that is also a misconception about Dubai. It's like they have this oil money. No, they have tourism money. And so that's why they're constantly building, constantly developing. And so the reason I love living there is because I'm a resident, but I get to take advantage of living in a tourism focused city.
Yeah. When we were driving around, I kept seeing the same name on these buildings.
Hopefully, Emaar and Demac.
Yo, Demac was everywhere.
Everywhere.
So I'm just trying to, can you explain who that is?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel like they own every building.
Yeah. So
like, yeah, talk to us about what Demac is.
Yeah.
And how they came to have all these properties in Dubai.
Yeah, so Emaar is a local owned company by Emirates, but they're also, Demac is actually a privately owned company. So okay. They're kind of competitors, you know, but they're pretty flamboyant when it comes to their advertising and their marketing. I respect it though. I'm like, look, Williams & Co. next to y'all, you know,
yeah.
That's the next goal. No, but they are basically just really project focused. So they're always developing and creating new projects. I think that they were just first to adapt and help to bring that master plan to the city. Mm-hmm. I have to send y'all this master plan offline. The King's vision is just insane. We already have fly-in deliveries. You can actually order on Uber a helicopter to come pick you up. So our Uber app has a helicopter as an option. Nice. If you stay at the Burj Al Arab and you have a penthouse suite, they fly you to the hotel. So it's a lot of different things that are happening in this market that are so unique.
I mean, when we was out there, we was in Abu Dhabi for most of the time, but it was during F1 week. So it was,
it was more popping. Yeah. It's not much going on.
Everybody was, it was all pop-ups. Our guy, Don Poo.
Oh,
he did a Brooklyn Chop House pop up.
Yeah.
And then our guys from Tape, they took over. They had a Tape pop up. Mm-hmm. Well, Tape is London. A big club in London.
Oh,
so they took over the nightclub. So it was a vibe. Nice.
Usher was out there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I did miss Usher.
He had a show. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar was out there. Uh-huh. Had a show.
Yeah, everybody was out there. But the one thing is that the government. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that because like. He was introducing us to a variety of different people, like the minister of event tourism, the minister of this, the minister of that. And, you know, how important is it to make inroads with government officials?
That's the only way anything moves. So that's one of the biggest things. So because it's such an area that has so much wealth, obviously have fraudsters too. Okay, where there's wealth, there's going to be people that are not who they say they are. So it's very important to have the right relationships in government because culturally they move on their own time. You know, whereas in the U.S. it's like, okay, they have deadlines. You can go online and say it's going to be due by this date, pushed by this date. It's very ambiguity, a lot of ambiguity when it comes to Dubai because it's all relationship focused. So if I come to you and I'm like, okay, I completed my application, whatever. If you have a relationship with the person behind me, you're going to service their application before mine, even though it's submitted first. Mm-hmm. So it's very heavily relationship focused. And I've made some really, really cool connections that I can't talk about on a podcast. but I will say that they are very open to doing business, where it can be a bit intimidating because they're very straight faced. They're very serious. So I'm still learning a lot about that. And also how to greet them, how to conduct business, what to say, what not to say. That's another thing. Don't come over thinking that you can just have a conversation as if they're American, because it's not. There are a lot of rules that you have to be aware of and respect when it comes to doing business.
Like what? Like what's the rules?
So I'm a hugger. I'm from the South. I'm a country girl. Y'all know me. Yeah. I love people. So if I see you and we have good energy and we're vibing, I'm like, ah! Or I might stick my hand out. But there are certain things that you should never touch, you know, without their permission. So let them stick their hand out to shake your hand, or, you know, don't touch them, don't hug them, you know what I'm saying? Or let them speak first, or it's just different little subtleties that I'm learning. I still don't have it all the way down packed, but respect overall. So whatever is respectful, lean into that. So that's the best advice I can give.
Lean into respect. I like that.
Lean into it. So what's the average price for, like, I want to get a place in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
What's a budget range where I can get something that's, give me decent, give me like nice, and give me like really, really nice.
Got you. So I would say on the low end, you can start, and just to put it into U.S. dollars, we'll say around $300,000.
For a condo.
One bedroom. So what people also need to realize too is that the space is going to be totally different. So whereas in the U.S. we were looking for all this space and closet space and this and that, they're very minimalist. So it's like you're going to buy an apartment or a condo, as we would call it, for the same price as you would a very nice home here in Atlanta. But you're not really thinking about it from buying it based on the size. You're buying into the money. You know, it's a money play. It's not a size play.
So it's like New York. So $300,000 will get you what?
800 square feet. So
that's like New York.
Yeah.
Well, That's cheaper than New York.
Yeah, it's still cheaper than New York.
Manhattan, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
They had the rental incomes for, I think, 3,000 square or something like that, square foot by city. I think on average, downtown Dubai, the average rent, let's say, $3,000.
Yeah, something roughly
York,
like that.
It's like $7,000.
It's still very much more affordable than a lot of the different places and also the other countries around. So Dubai competes with other countries. You know, we're in the United States, so we're looking like kind of city to city. So it's like comparatively to the UK or whatever you might get in China or et cetera. So they're always kind of charting on that path to make sure we're still less expensive, but more square footage than our surrounding countries.
So $300,000 on the low end.
On the middle end, it kind of jumps to between $5 to $1 million. As far as your middle grade, where you can still be downtown, you can still get a view of the Burj, you can still get,
two bedroom?
That would still be 1 to 2 bedrooms.
That's just a better vibe.
That's just a better vibe. That's just a better area. You're paying for more so location.
Instead of being on the first floor, you're on the 10th floor.
Yes, absolutely. And then when it comes to over $1 million plus and you're looking at like $5 million and all of that, you're going to be in villas. So you're not really looking at villas under $3 million US.
A villa would be like a townhouse,
like your single family home.
And that's on the outskirts of downtown?
That's pretty much anywhere.
Anywhere, gotcha.
Because it's not a villa focused area. Everything is built up. As y'all saw, it's like so many buildings. So everyone there buys apartments. That's more of what the framework is architecturally. You're going to get an apartment over a villa. If you're buying a villa, that's not necessarily an investment play. That's more of like, I want to live here. I'm settled. This is my primary residence or secondary home for some people.
But how was the appreciation?
It's amazing. I mean, so for example, the project that I just sold, I mentioned I sold 2 units this week, right? Mm-hmm. They put down their down payment. I got a text message from my rep and she's like, we're increasing the prices by 10% next week.
Yeah, I looked it up. I looked it up for you. So the average rate of return is 8%.
8%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then rental yields.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because Dubai also ranks number one, mm-hmm. And they compared it to cities. So I know you said countries, but... Mm-hmm. 8% gross rental yield. Number two is London at 3%. Mm-hmm. And number three is Paris at 2.75%. So talk about rental yields, right? Because a lot of people can get that confused. Rate of return or return on investment mm-hmm. versus rental yields, the difference between those two.
Mm-hmm. But definitely, I think that Dubai is one of those places that is constantly growing, developing. Mm-hmm. Everything is on an upward swing. And the beautiful part about what I'm focused on right now, being in the off-plan market, is that you're going to buy something and it will never be as low as it is right now. So that's why it's a huge strategy. I think that buying off-plan for people that are foreign investors is the best thing to do right now.
So who's Dubai's competition? Because I know Saudi Arabia is making a strong push mm-hmm. into everything that Dubai is kind of doing.
Yes.
That's what we've been told. Like, they sat back and they watched mm-hmm. what Dubai did, and now they're positioning themselves to be bigger.
Yes.
They obviously, nobody has more money than
they don't. They have more money than everyone. So they're just like, we'll just throw money at it. So Saudi has some really incredible projects that are coming up, such as NEOM, which is the Line City. So that city is going to be all encompassing. You never actually have to leave the city. They have all kind of things flying around in that city. You don't even need your own vehicle. It's really, really crazy. They also have the Turtle City. I forget the actual name of it, but it's like the Palm, but it's shaped like a turtle.
Yes.
But it's bigger than the Palm, and it has more development. They also
that's
have
in the middle of the water.
It's the middle of the water.
Yeah.
It is insane what they're doing.
Yeah.
Saudi is not playing, but what I feel the difference is, they're going to have a hard time retraining our minds to feel safe there, to feel not safe from a, oh, I'm going to get hurt perspective, but to be myself. You know, with all the different communities that we have that are developed, people don't feel comfortable partying or wearing certain things.
I think
or...
that's why they're doing such a strong push with culture.
Yeah.
So, like, Swiss, he's becoming, like, the ambassador for Saudi.
See, that's why.
And then, like, they have a music festival. They had DJ Khaled come.
Yeah.
They have Future.
Mm-hmm.
They have Fat Joe.
And they can write the check. So,
so I think that that's a way to accelerate. Because mm-hmm. people have short memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, once you start to have enough of those cultural type of vibes, mm-hmm. you're going to forget everything.
Yeah.
You're going to follow culture there.
You're going to follow the culture there. Yeah. And then especially when they see something dangly and shiny, and all you have to do is get a few Instagram influencers to show a really dope resort. Yeah. And they have one that I'm actually, that's pinned in my saved folder for travel in Saudi, where you're in the desert, but it's like caves and everything around you. It's so gorgeous. You know, so they're doing a great job on their marketing push to say it. Now it's just about, okay, relaxing some of the alcohol laws and being able to be more affectionate in public and different things like that. So it's just retraining our minds. But like you said, people have short memory.
They're in the process of building the tallest land structure in the world as well.
Yes. Right?
So they sold the Burj Khalifa and they said, let's go higher than that.
But now Dubai has another structure higher than
that. Then they came back and said, we saw your plans.
Yeah.
Let's build one bigger than that.
Yes, they're one bigger than that. So I love it. I mean, it's such an, I love competition. I'm an athlete at heart. You know, I ran track all my life. And so for me, I like the competition because it's constantly forcing you to be better. It's like, okay, you can do this. All right, now how can I stretch you to be better? So I enjoy watching them
So when you think about yourself now, you're establishing your footprints in Dubai, and you're trailblazing.
Thank you.
But it's international. Mm-hmm. And so are there markets inside of the UAE or maybe somewhere else that you have your eyes on in that 10 to 15 year vision plan?
Ooh, shorter than that. Yes. So I would say South Africa would be one of the areas between South Africa and Ghana. I think that those two areas really catch my attention quite a bit. So what we doing? What we talking about?
We going to Ghana at the end of the year.
Y'all going to Ghana.
I might be there because I wanted to go there for New Year's anyway.
Okay. Everybody's going to be there. So we're going to do Market Mondays. We got the Market Mondays tour.
Okay. I'll be there.
That's the last stop on the tour.
Yes.
It's Ghana.
So. I have some connections I can put you with in Ghana.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's all about relationships.
So let's speak to that, right? Because we really think the U.S. is all that, but Dubai is the Middle East, the middle of the world. I can literally get to Greece in 6 hours. I can be in Egypt in 3 hours.
Well, when we went there, we was talking with, I forget, he was a very high-ranking official in the government at Steve Harvey's gala. Mm-hmm. And we was talking, we was having a conversation, and he was saying that all of the focus is on Asia and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's where growth is. Mm-hmm. Asia and Africa.
Yes.
He's like, that...
Everything else is, it's maxed
focus
out.
Focus on that. So I feel like even in America, I feel like, of course, America's our home. So yes, we always have a bias towards America. Mm-hmm. But especially Black people, we've always, fought for freedoms and justice and different things of that nature. And I feel like, there's nothing that stops you from going different places.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be confined to just one part of the world.
Yes.
Like, you can do business in different places. You can live in different places. You can invest in different places, whether it's Africa, mm-hmm. whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in the Caribbean, whatever. Like, when you see that, opportunities are limited at one place, mm-hmm. then you go to another place. This is what people have done for America for 100 years.
Yes.
This is why so many immigrants have come to America, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had oppression where they were at. They had obstacles. They had limited opportunities where they came from.
Yes.
So they came to America, established a new life for themselves, mm-hmm. and provided opportunities.
Yes.
And then actually even provided more opportunities back home. They sent money back home. They sent opportunities. So it's like, we can do the same thing.
We can do the exact same thing. And that's a powerful point, because we don't really flip it around. We always get upset about, how did they get grants and they're not from here, or they didn't do this. But now being on the other side of it, where I'm entering into a foreign land, it's like, wow, I see it so much more differently, because they woke up here, they grew here, but I have so much more hustle and so much more hunger to, like, let me take advantage of this market. Like, I see it. I'm eager. I'm anxious. And so that creates a sense of like, okay, I got to do this. And then it's a sink or swim mentality. I'm over there by myself. Like, I don't have another option. I put this out there to the world. I cannot fail. I have to make this work. I have to make it happen. So it's created a different energy behind everything
that I do. It's going to work, or it's going to work.
The world is your oyster, Denise.
Yeah, it really is.
And when you're over there, right, mm-hmm. it's not like I can drive down the street to somebody. You got to figure these things out. It's a long mm-hmm. way back from Savannah.
Yeah.
So we talked about a lot of the benefits. What are some of the reasons that people maybe shouldn't invest mm-hmm. In Dubai?
Great question.
Some of the cons?
So some of the cons would be, so as Rashad mentioned, we've been trained to live in debt. If you're someone that is really struggles with debt and things of that nature, it's not the place for you, because you will go to jail if you don't pay your bills. So you're not signing these payment
plans.
And
you go to jail if you mm-hmm. smoking weed.
Yes. So
don't
you have
over there. Yeah.
No.
You know, I heard that they are laxing laws. They said mm-hmm. that they're trying to make it.
I don't know. I haven't heard that one.
But yeah, if you plan on using drugs or selling drugs,
yes,
that's not the part of the world to do
that. That's not the place that you want to be, because you will be underground or in the desert.
We met somebody with a personal experience. Their friend, So we knew somebody. We met somebody from New York. Their friend was in. He's serving like 30 years in jail.
See, they don't. It's not worth it.
They said it's jail on the other side of the sun.
That's it.
So
it's really one of the
that's great, because when they told me the other side of the sun, when they told me about the other side of the sun, I kept hearing about the other side of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them, I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, what's on the other side of the sun? They was like, well, have you ever seen the other side of the sun? I said, no. He's like, exactly.
That's what it means.
No coming back.
You're out of here. You know, and so that's definitely, that was another point that I was going to make. Definitely recreational use of drugs is not going to be the place. And also, if you don't have an open mind, you have to think there's over 200 nationalities in Dubai. So you have to be willing to work with different people and have a level of patience that they may not say things that you can quickly understand, you know, without being offensive and just being open to culture. You don't want to be a part of conservatives because a lot of Americans, we don't like to be told what to do. So it's like we have a natural buck in us. Like, no, you're not going to tell me I can't hold hands. You're not going to tell me I can't wear this. You can't. So if you have that kind of mindset.
Yeah, I am going to tell you.
Yeah, I'm actually going to tell you.
You'll see the other side of it? Okay. You're going to do what I say.
It's that simple, actually.
And so, you know, those are just some of those reasons. And one thing that I will also say, if you plan to conduct business in both the U.S. and the UAE, think about the fact that there is a huge time zone difference. I'm literally a walking zombie most days because I'm working for the U.S. and then I'm working Dubai. And so some days I don't get rest because I'm working two time zones. Like, obviously, there's going to have to be an adjustment where I choose. But for now, it's a hustle, you know. And so I'm just like, make sure you take that into consideration because you might want to talk to your mom every day. But that's going to change because when she wakes up, you're going to sleep and vice versa. So relationships will start to become strained because it's difficult. It's difficult.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
How are you getting clients? Mm-hmm. Who are your clients?
Yeah.
And how are you, you started a business, right? Mm-hmm. But how did you be able to grow that business and how are you able to get people into your funnel?
So the biggest thing is, you know, I think that you all only interview people who have proof of concept, right? So that is something that I have developed over the last 11 years. I've been in real estate since 2012. And so I've built up a brand that people know, like, and trust. And because I've already done business, now all I'm doing is doing the same thing I've been doing, getting on social media, showing projects, showing people, like, this is what I'm now doing. I have created this community and following of people that are, like, interested in me organically. So what I've done, my strategy is, I'm like, okay, be the first, number one. That's like, boom, eye-opener. Number two is I'm bringing my audience to this region. So my focus, I didn't go into their market saying, I'm going to work with Emiratis.
You're working with Americans.
I'm working with Americans. Yeah. I'm like, this is my market. It's wide open because we don't know about it, but we have the money. We just don't know where the opportunities are. So if I spread the message about, hey, here are the opportunities, Americans are going to listen to me because now I speak their language. I can break down a contract to you in a way that you understand. We've developed trust. You know how I know how to handle the culture. I know what you expect. You would much rather work with me than someone from Pakistan that can't explain a contract to you in a way that you can understand. Yeah. Why? Because you're going to feel like it's a scam. Yeah. So because of that, I've positioned myself to be the authority figure to say, hey, come, listen. It's not that people haven't wanted to invest for 100 years. It's just that they don't have anyone to trust.
Yeah, you're a brand that they can trust and you're on the ground.
Yes. And so I'm hosting events. So I just hosted an event, Invest Dubai 2023 in March, doing it again in November. I had about 30 people come the first time from the Netherlands, from the U.S., from Africa that came and attended my first event. So what I'm doing is putting it out there. And people are naturally interested because it's Dubai.
So what's that event? What's the event?
So Invest Dubai 2023 is an event that is focused on investors who want to learn about purchasing real estate in the Middle East. So they're going to come. We're going to have a welcome dinner, a seminar where I break down how to invest. They're going to get access to my development partners. They're going to see, touch, and feel projects. So we're going to do a property tour where you're actually walking it yourself because people always think something is up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that you show them, like, no, really come. Like, it's not a scam. It's really happening. And people are literally buying up this city every single day. So I want you to see it. And then just sprinkling in some fun. You know, it's a great place to be.
You have the dates for November?
November 29th through December 3rd.
Dubai embraced me like an Emirati.
Yeah.
November. I'm asking about the dates because this is true. Mm-hmm. But there's a few. I think the gala might be happening around
that
time.
It is happening around the same time.
If we're out there, then we
you got to definitely pull up. Yeah, you know. Yes, got to pull up. So that event is going to be amazing. So my vision for
that. How many
people
are you expecting?
I'm expecting between 50 to 100 people. I had 98 people on my wait list. Like, I don't want to give it all away, but it is going to be happening during the city's anniversary. So mm-hmm. It'll be their 52nd year anniversary. So it's going to be a live city. The Burj is going to be lit, lit. Everyone's in town. It's perfect weather. It's so much to do. I can't wait. Like, I'm putting my heart and soul into this event.
When you have, you know, some of your clients come over, do you speak to them about maybe dual citizenship?
Yeah.
And how that can be a benefit from a tax perspective?
Absolutely. So it's not citizenship, it's residency.
Residency, okay.
Yeah. So you get to actually get residency by a couple ways. You can purchase it through opening a business, or you can purchase it through real estate. So if you meet the threshold of a $2 million, not dollar, dirham purchase, which is equivalent to about 500,000 US, mm-hmm. you can actually get a golden visa, which will allow you to have residency for 10 years. So you can pay for it through a company or pay for it through real estate to obtain residency in the city.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Very insightful conversation. How can people follow you? How can they, social media,
yeah,
all that type of stuff?
Definitely. So you can follow me at DeniseTheBroker.com. That is my website, or all platforms on social at DeniseTheBroker. Cannot wait to connect with you guys. If you're interested in investing in Dubai or have any questions about the market, give me a call at 971-585-834-407. That is my international line. So WhatsApp is free. And yeah, I would love to connect with you.
WhatsApp is the vibe.
WhatsApp is the vibe. Okay, so before we wrap, I have just a small little token of appreciation, a gift behind your chairs. If you could just take a look.
Okay.
Yes, like Oprah.
I have been called Oprah a few times here and there. So I just wanted to say that I just appreciate you guys, not just for this opportunity, but for what you are doing for the culture and beyond, because it's no longer just about the culture. You guys are an international brand. We're all world changers, and I appreciate what you all are doing every single day. Like, I know that it's not easy, and ever since I've done this, I look at y'all in such a different light, because I'm like, how do they live this life every day? So I wanted to just let y'all know to continue to take over the world.
Wow.
You are not a local brand. You are a global brand. And this is just a globe to remember and remind you that the world is yours.
The biggest.
The biggest.
The biggest.
The biggest. Just got the bigger.
That is a fact.
The world is.
I wanted to be travel size. I'm like, I know y'all gonna be moving around.
This is
dope.
This is fire.
Thank you. Yes, you're so welcome.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
You're
welcome. You're
welcome.
Yes.
Hashtag the biggest.
Right. Hashtag had to kind of keep that on.
Very, very, very important. Very important. Well, thank you. This has been a very enlightening conversation. Definitely encourage everybody to travel, not just to Dubai, any part of the world.
Yes.
I think that traveling is something that expands your mind.
Yes.
And provides a lot of great value to you. And, you know, get to see different cultures and just get to experience different things. One of the things that we've been blessed to do with Earn Your Leisure, like, we've been able to travel a lot.
Yeah.
Domestically and internationally. So always been my favorite thing since I was a kid. I love to travel. So it's encouraging that what you're doing, continue the success. And we'll see you at the Burj Khalifa.
Yes.
We have Denise, the international broker, in the building.
we gotta change the name.
Yes, I have to change it. That's a new trademark.
That's a new fact. Yeah.
You have it. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Peace.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.